Okay, turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. This is not an unfamiliar verse to many of you, but nonetheless, it is a significant verse that we must talk about if we're going to talk about what the Bible says about the New Testament church. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, of course, the world doesn't really know what a church is about or why there is such a thing as the institution of the church or why Jesus established the institution of the New Testament church. a lot of people have a lot thoughts on that aren't necessarily biblical. We want to talk about one of the reasons that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, established the New Testament church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, this is the theme verse of 1 Timothy, and Paul is writing from Macedonia, from Philippi, and he's writing to Timothy, who is now the pastor at Ephesus. They have just gotten out of Paul had just gotten out of his first imprisonment out of Rome, had gone to Ephesus, and he had found a number of doctrinal problems in the church and other issues. And he began to take care of them, and then he left Timothy in charge to take care and to straighten out a number of issues in the church. And so this is the context. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. And, you know, that's pretty simple, that in a local church, it tells us how you ought to conduct yourself, what are the right things. And if you would think of that verse and first to think of a number of different things, there'd be a lot of great application. 1 Timothy 2 talks about how ladies are supposed to dress. And it tells us in 1 Timothy 3, it tells us that thou knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. So if anybody says the Bible doesn't say how you're supposed to dress when you go to church, absolutely wrong. I mean, it is straightforward as what it says right there. But that's besides the point. How thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The assembly. The church is the assembly of believers, baptized believers of the living God. Then it gives us this last phrase, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. This gives us the great purpose of the church. One of the great purposes of the church. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. The church has a duty to the Lord and to the world. The church, and of course, if you're a member of a church, you have that duty. And you should sense that duty. You should feel that duty. You should know that is your duty. And it is the purpose of a church to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, this refers, of course, to Greek architecture of that day. And like the Acropolis in Athens, this building was a pillar construction. And the pillars and the footing under the pillars held up the building. And so the building itself, the roof, represents the truth. And the church represents the pillar and ground. And if the church fails in its duty to uphold the truth comes crashing down. And the reason that many people today do not know what the truth is because churches are not concerned about the truth. And we could say many things about that. But I've told the story before. When we started the church in Maquonago, we had services down the house, and there's a lady, Mrs. Kybers, Lila Kybers, was born in our house And she lived there many years, moved away from there in 1941 when her father sold the house. Hadn't been back there in almost 40 years. Heard we're having church there. And so one Sunday morning, her son brought her and her husband to church so they could see her old house. Well, lo and behold, we started visiting Mrs. Kybers, and Mrs. Kybers got saved. And she says, "Hey, well, this born-again thing, is this new? And I never heard of that before." And she'd been going to church for 80 years, never heard of it. Well, no, it wasn't that it was new. It was all the churches that she went to didn't teach it. And so as far as she was concerned, it never even existed. Okay, because the churches failed in their duty. Okay, in upholding the truth, some obvious things, the true gospel has to be preached. The true gospel has to be preached. And we'll just because we need to go to the look at the Bible, what it says, Galatians chapter 1. What does Apostle Paul say about a person who changes the gospel? Okay? What about a person who says that you're saved by faith plus something else? And in Galatians, it's talking about those who add something to salvation, like many denominations add baptism to faith or etc. And he says, "Better not add anything to the gospel." It says, verse 8, "But though we and an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Well, that's pretty strong language, right? Why would he say, "Let them be accursed"? Because if you preach the wrong gospel, you're going to send people to hell. But you know what? Some churches don't even care about that. They don't even care about that. They don't care if their people are confused. If they don't care if their people think that it's a combination of things. But the true gospel has to be preached. And if it's going to be preached, churches are going to have to do it. And number two, the whole Bible has to be taught. The whole Bible. The Apostle Paul declared that one of his goals was to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And he says, verse 20, "And I how Acts 20:20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Okay? And verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Well, you know, there's an important truth here. You know, many preachers assume that people don't want to be all that they can be for God. Many preachers assume that people don't really want to know the whole truth. And many preachers assume that people don't want to know the real truths that are going to make the difference whether your family is godly or ungodly. And so they don't preach at all. Because someone might not like it. Might step on somebody's toes. Well, I tell you what. If you don't preach all the Bible, then you don't really love souls and you don't really love God. And if you don't preach against drinking, you don't love souls. And you don't love God and you don't love the Bible. And people are going to be a wreck. And their families are going to be a wreck if you don't teach the whole Bible. So Paul preached the whole Bible. Paul's ministry included warning. He included warning. How many people like warning? Don't do that! How many young people like dad or mom? Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't hang around those people. Don't go there. That's warning. Well, you know what? That's pretty important. You preach the positive as well as the negative. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul's ministry included warning. You know, there's positives and there's negatives. And church is supposed to teach them both. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, obviously the Great Commission includes the whole Bible. Matthew 28, teaching them to observe, fill in the blank. All things. Teaching them all things. All right? And if you aren't teaching the whole Bible, people aren't going to know the truth. And if they don't know the truth, it's going to be lost. That's it. It's going to be lost. And our culture, you think about the decay of our culture. Our culture, in our culture, so much has been lost that people don't even know it used to exist. You know that? They don't even know that it used to exist. I remember being in Wales talking to these teenagers, and these teenagers said to me, "You aren't one of those Bible bangers." And I said, "I sure am." And I says to them, "You see all those big churches downtown?" And Rose Crown of Kugag is only about, still only 8,000 or 10,000, but it's always huge church buildings. I says, "You know, this town used to be, all those churches used to be full." They had no idea. You know why? Those churches stopped preaching the truth. Did you know it? And because of it, now the people don't even know what the truth is. So the Great Commission teaching includes teaching all things. Now, the fact is, there's probably something that a lot of people don't want me to preach on. And if you add up 100 people, then that means there's 100 different things that you're not supposed to preach on. Right? So you think about that. You think about what a church would be like if it went by your whims. Now, second, number two there, a church is to have a doctrinal position. Okay, a church is supposed to say, "This is what we believe." Right? How do you know that churches in the Bible had a doctrinal position? A lot of people think it was nebulous, like cavemen, you know. They didn't really know what they believed, and so there wasn't really any doctrinal position. But 1 John chapter 2 makes it pretty clear they had a doctrinal position, because it tells us about the false teachers who left them because of their doctrinal position. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, it says about the Antichrist, whereby we know is the last time, many Antichrists, and they went out from us. In other words, where were they? Where were they? If they went out from us, where were they? They were in the church. Right? They went out from us. They were in the church. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. They weren't having a spiritual birth. They claimed to. They professed to. But they didn't have a genuine spiritual birth. How do you know they didn't have a genuine spiritual birth? Because Apostle John says so. And secondly, he says they didn't have a genuine spiritual birth because they turned away from the truth. And it says they went out from us, for they hadn't. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out. that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Why did they leave? What? Because why didn't we believe like you? Why not? Because they weren't saved. That is just as simple as that. You know, you can't believe the truth if you're not saved. You know that? If you believe the whatever because of whatever, well, if you're not saved, sooner or later you're going to turn from it. You know what I mean? You're going to turn from it. You know, it's amazing. I talked to this preacher, and he said, you know, my brother-in-law, when we were going to such and such a college, he would always be telling us, you guys are all wrong. You need to change this, and you need to change this. He says, you know what? 20 years later, now, we grew, and we did change what he said we should change. But you know what he did? He completely forsook it. Huh. Why do you think he completely forsook it? I think he completely forsook it because he had a fundamental home, a fundamental church, a fundamental background, a fundamental college. And when he got on his own, he started showing who he was. That was the difference. It says, they went out from us. Why? Because they didn't agree on what they taught. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're trying to battle the clock here, I'm sorry. But if we think about this, there's been weeks since we've talked down in the local church, we're trying to teach this. But 1 Timothy 1:3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, how can he charge them not to teach a doctrine of a different kind if they didn't know what the right kind was? They had to have the right kind, the right position. Romans chapter 16. Notice what it says there. Verse 17. Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. This is what you were taught. Now these are those who are coming in or who are teaching you to go different than what you were taught. He says, mark them and avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. Okay, so they knew what they had been taught. They knew what was right. Okay, so a New Testament church has a position on the truth of the Bible as applied to any situation. What is the truth? You know, what is the truth? A declaration of what the Bible teaches on any theological or practical truth of life. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 3:17 once. That's a pretty important verse. Now it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, in other words, the Bible has all the answers of everything that you need in order to be exactly all that you need to be as a Christian. It's going to address every subject. Okay? And so a church is supposed to teach what the Bible says. Teach what it says. Okay? Now, if a church is going to be the pillar and ground of the truth, and if the church doesn't stand for the truth, the world is not going to have the truth, the world's not going to see the truth, the world's not going to know the truth, and Christians aren't going to know the truth. If a church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth, a church is going to be attacked by Satan. A church that's trying to stand for truth is going to be attacked. Doesn't it make sense? Of course. It's going to be attacked. You know, the devil wants the truth to be lost. If a church is going to try to stand for the truth, the devil's going to attack it. That's just is the nature of the game. I mean, it just makes obvious a church will be attacked by Satan and the world and even its own people. You know, I was thinking about this. A church is more than a group of saved people. If a church was just a group of saved people, everything would be fine. So all you got to worry about is that you're saved. But the Bible says the church is more than just a group of saved people. The Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. A church has to stand for the truth, otherwise the truth will be lost. People won't know what the truth is. That's real. You know? And you know, every believer is going to have to, as they grow, they're going to be taught the Bible, and they're going to have to make a decision about the truth. Everybody has to make a decision about the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. People say, I don't care about the truth. Well, then you're totally out of God's will if you're saved. Totally out of God's will. Because the Bible says the church is a pillar and ground of the truth. That's our duty to the world and for God. So, if a church is only concerned about getting people saved but not grounded and walking in truth, the truth will be about having a nice time together as believers, not standing together on the truth and not contending for the truth. Jude chapter 4, verse 4. Contending for the truth. You know that verse, but we'll look at it. Now, this is a command of God. It says, verse 3, wrong verse, but Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly, with all your effort, what? Contend for the truth. Contend for the faith. What's the faith? Do you know what the faith is? It's this book right here. All right? And that's our job. Okay? That's our job, is to stand for the truth. Now, that's probably the issue today, is that people don't really care about the truth. Well, God cares about the truth. He cares about it a lot. You know, as we think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, talks about why pastors, evangelists are given to the church. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. There's a growth there. Okay? Now, we're on 5 in the back of it. A church should be continually growing in its stand and understanding of the truth. Now, think about what's happening in the world today. Most churches, the longer they're in existence, become weaker. Most churches, the longer they are in existence, become weaker and weaker and weaker. Does that sound like growing? How many think that sounds like growing? How many think that sounds like declining?
Yeah.
But the Bible says that the churches are to what? They're to grow. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You know what? Isn't it interesting? There are some Christians that used to have an idea of what they believe. Now they don't know what they believe. Obviously, they aren't growing, right? Now, so turn with me to Third John, and we'll look at this whole thing of truth here. And this is written, Gospel of John is written now almost 60 years after the crucifixion and resurrection. And now he's looked at 60 years of Christianity, okay? He's looked at 60 years of Christianity, and now he gives us this viewpoint. What's his viewpoint now of Christianity after 60 years? What is important to him? He says, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, I remember reading about this one evangelist. And he said, you know, when I first got into evangelism, I was all concerned about how many people profess to get saved. He said, but the longer I was in evangelism, the more I became concerned about how many people who professed to get saved the next time I went to that church were living for God. He says, that's what became important to me. Now the Apostle Paul says, I look back at 60 years of Christianity, and he says, you know, there's a lot going on out there. He says, but you know what? To top of the list, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Standing for the truth, believing the truth, contending for the truth. Now, number 7, we'll try to go through that quickly. Today's lack of concern about truth is seen in what? What's more important to the believers in the last days? What's more important for believers in the last days? Walking in their own what? Lust. Their sinful, willful lifestyle. That's what lusts are. Enjoying lifestyle issues are more than important than the truth. You know, it's more important to be entertained. It's more important to be worldly. That's what's important to most believers today. It's not about what the truth is. The entertainment and feeling are more dominant in church services rather than what? Teaching of the Bible. Entertainment and feeling more dominant in church services than the teaching of the Bible. See the paucity or the fewness of those who are trying to stand and warn the saints about the compromisers of the day. When I was in Bible college, you had the Blueprint, you had the Calvary Contender, you had the Fundamental Baptist newsletter. You had maybe 10, 15 publications that were being published warning people about the compromises of the day. Today, there may be one or two. David Cloud, and he is not well liked at all. And the Calvary Contender, that might still be in existence. I don't know. But the young fundamentalist student doesn't even read those papers. They're taught, don't read those things, you'll get negative. Got to stay positive. You'd think there'd be all sorts of preachers warning about the trends of the day. We're in the last days. D, the personal issues being more important than more important than truth in the church you attend or are a member. That's what it's supposed to say. Personal issues. Okay, why do people go to other churches? It's personal issues. Personal issues. You know? Pastor, how can you say it's personal issues? I know it's personal issues. You know why? Because they'll go and attend a church and has no problem with them, no problem that they have a Bible that has errors in it. No problem. They don't care. They don't care if it's got a Bible that has errors in it. They don't care. They'll go to a church that has bad music. They don't care. Music's not so good. They don't care if music's bad. They'll go and they don't care if they teach about modesty. They don't care. Truth doesn't matter. Doctrine is weak. They don't care. You see, it's not about the Bible, it's about personal preference. You know why? Personal preference is all about self, and it's not about the truth. You know what? If and I'm just preaching here, if people really cared about the truth, and they really had a problem, you know, there's really a legitimate problem, you know what they should do? They should they should start a church. They shouldn't go to a church that's compromising. They should start one. Amen? They really care about the truth. Start a church. Oh, man, that'd be commitment. That's what the issue is, folks. That's what the issue is. If this church compromised, and I lived down at that house, if I had to, I'd drive 100 miles to go to a church to talk the truth. It's not about convenience. It's about what's right. Amen? It's about what's right. We're living in the last days. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. If the church doesn't care about the truth, then they are failing God and they are failing the world and they are not functioning as a New Testament church. We say, well, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Yeah, I know that's what it says. But wait a minute. It's not just what it says. It's what it means. That's our job. And you know, people say to me, why do you use the King James? I says, because it's the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm not going to have some Bible up here that just might be easy to read that is based on a corrupt text, is full of theological premises that are wrong. It's not about convenience. It's about what's right. Amen? Stand for the truth. You know, what will you sacrifice? How much truth will you sacrifice? That's a big question. How much truth will you sacrifice in your life? That's a big question. Do you really care about the truth? Well, Jesus, when he comes back, you know what he says? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus comes back, what's going to be written on his forehead, though? Word of God. That's the one who cares about the truth. We ought to care about the truth. And if we don't care about the truth, then we don't really know a whole lot about Jesus. Because he is all about the truth. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you today that we can emphasize the very, very heart, one of the very heart issues of the New Testament church. And certainly, Lord, our heart ought to be winning souls to the Great Commission, going to all the world with the gospel. But Lord, certainly we realize that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We need to take this seriously. And Lord, I pray that young people here would have gotten a sense of the pulse of Jesus Christ and of the Bible and of God when they realize that we are, as a church, to stand for the truth, to contend for the truth, to preach all the truth and stand in our lives for the truth of God's Word so that the world might have a light that only that, Lord, they'll see and know and is if we will stand for it. And while heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe even tonight the Lord's spoken to you a little bit about the fact that, you know, haven't been really concerned about the truth. It's about personal convenience. It's about, you know, this and that and all of this other stuff. I'm not that kind of person who really gets concerned about the truth. But the Spirit of God tried to nudge me tonight that I wasn't thinking correctly. I wasn't thinking correctly. God, the Bible, is the God of truth, and he cares about the truth, and we're supposed to care about it immensely. And you say, you know what? The Lord spoke in my heart. I'm changing my perspective. I am going to be one who stands for the truth, wants the truth, and will contend for the truth, and will stand for the truth and not compromise the truth just because of personal convenience. And God has spoken to your heart, and you said, that's exactly what the Lord's done in my life tonight. And I'm saying yes to the Lord. Just raise your hand. Okay. All right. All right. That's good. Lord, use your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.